This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, spectacular Friday. All right, so let's just dig into some things. First of all, we're going to deal with the lemon voodoo thing that Chris pulled on us. That's not first. We're going to talk about where the commies are going to go. Then we'll get to the lemon stuff. Then we'll talk about sanctuary cities, all that, maybe even some B-17 talk and more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, a guy writes in an email and he says, hey, you talk about ignoring the Supreme Court, but where will they go after that? Where will we go as a country? This is an understandable concern. It's an understandable email. But here's the problem. That is, when you are going into a fight, the worst possible way to go into a fight, and it is a guarantee that you will lose the fight. Allow me to explain. I have been in quite a few scraps in my life, because you can tell by the scars on my knuckles. If you go into a fight, you will be afraid, understandably, because you're going to be hurt. It hurts. It hurts your face. It hurts your knuckles. It hurts your back. It hurts. Fighting hurts. It's not fun. Hurts. If you hold back, if you go into it with the mentality that, hey, if I hit him too hard, if I land that kidney shot, I'm going to make him mad, and then he's really going to hurt me. If that is how you think, I promise you're going to lose. You must go into a fight and unload everything without thinking about the consequences, because that's the only way you're going to win. When it comes to dealing with America's communists, understand that they've proven time and time again, there is no rule, there is no law, there is no court, there is no nothing in their minds that will stop the revolution. The revolution supersedes all. It most definitely supersedes the country or lives or anything else. These people are committed all the way. We, normal people like you and I, we want to live in a normal civil society that we've known. We want to live in the society that we've known, and we have concerns. Some people have concerns, and I understand that. Again, I get the email. People have concerns. If we escalate, won't they escalate? So I don't know if this is going to calm your fears or not, but I am going to tell you this. They are going to escalate no matter what you do. There is nothing you can do. There is no good conduct you can do. There is no bad conduct you can do. There's nothing you can do. It's completely out of your control. Nothing you can do will stop the communist demons from escalating until the revolution is successful. That's how communists operate. That's how they've always operated. The only chance you have at stopping them, dissuading them, or slowing them down is giving them pain. I don't say that because it's wonderful talk radio fodder. I say that because the whole history of communism proves that to be the case. And people who have dealt with communism all say the exact same thing. They will push and push and push and push and destroy and gobble and destroy and gobble and destroy and gobble until they run into serious resistance with teeth. Otherwise, there is no stopping him. That Solzhenitsyn quote, I've quoted it before. Here it is again. Now, remember, this is a human being who watched the communist destruction of his country, who spent time in gulags. This was his quote. The enemies of the human race, that's what he called communists, respect the big fist and nothing else. The harder you slug them, the safer you will be. Let me read it one more time. The enemies of the human race respect the big fist and nothing else. The harder you slug them, the safer you will be. I don't know what will happen if we ignore the Supreme Court. Will they? Well, they already have, and they will again. Will they? I don't know. But I do know this. If we don't start dealing aggressively with communists, then we are already done. The only chance you have is to hurt them. Now, not physically. I don't want you doing anything illegal. I don't want you going out punching anybody or shooting anybody. I don't want you to do that. I'm talking about with the political power we have, we must use it to attack communist criminality. It's not even like I want people or I think we should go after people for, you know, being Democrats or something like that. That's crazy. I don't want that at all. I don't want to live in that kind of country. But communists commit crimes as simply what they do, because you have to commit crimes if you're fighting a revolution. That's why there's all these, well, I'll keep bringing it back to illegals because it's the best example. That's why there are all these examples of communists doing brazenly illegal things when it comes to illegal immigration. A freaking judge had a gang member living in his house. Living in his house. These people, to do communist activism is to violate the law. So you must take your power and smash them. And if the communists have taken over a critical institution like a court, any level of the court, and they've decided that their evil, their criminality now is the law, you still have to smash them. You have no choice. There's no stopping it. You didn't choose that. If you want to feel better about it, you didn't make that choice. They made that choice. You are in a political war. You didn't get a say-so. Sorry. Jesse, I need answers. Oh, the subject of this one is Jewish magic. You remember maybe from earlier in the week, I was getting ready to sneeze, and Jewish producer Chris told me to think about a lemon, and the sneeze went away. And I'm still just so weirded out. I'm so weirded out because it worked. Anyway, this lady said, Jesse, I need answers. Just as you were talking about Chris using the word lemon to avoid your sneeze, I also had the feeling of a sneeze. In addition to you talking about the word lemon, I also said the word out loud, and it didn't work. I have tried this 2 more times this week, and it has not worked at all. Do I need to be Jewish to use this magic? Can a Gentile be taught? Please ask Chris. I need clarification. His name is Connor. Chris, where are we at on this? Chris, I got a sneeze coming. I got a sneeze. All right, it worked. Chris said, you can't do it to yourself. He's claiming he doesn't know why. I think we all know there are secrets we're not privy to. But he says he doesn't know why. But you can't do it to yourself. But I can ask you to do it to me and it will work? That doesn't make sense at all. What, Chris? What? Now, that's a good point. Chris said he didn't tell me to think about a lemon, and that's true. He just said the word lemon, and it went away. I have to know. There has to be some sort of a, I mean, maybe it is just Jewish voodoo. And I'm so mad at myself, because after I called it Jewish voodoo, we had so many emails from people saying I should have called it Judo. And your wife said the same thing, Chris? Of course. I blame me. How could I? That's a layup. It's like I'm in the WNBA. I had a layup and I just missed it. Hey, Jesse, with 2 more rulings today, the defunding sanctuary cities and requiring citizens to vote who are both unconstitutional, you can count me out on caring about the Constitution. These people must be destroyed. My patience is no longer wearing thin. It's gone. He says his name is Chris. Well, Look, when it comes to the Constitution, we don't need to dog it. The Constitution is and was wonderful. The Bill of Rights is and was wonderful. I want to live under the government that was laid out in our Constitution, and I hope you do as well. But it may eventually, and we may be here now, there comes a point where it's null and void if one side has complete disdain and disregard for it. Right? It can't be the Constitution. What it absolutely cannot be is a list of rules that only Republicans have to follow. If that's where we're at, then what he just said, I mean, I get emails like this all the time. This is what the mood of the country is. The right is tired of that way of thinking. Hey, here's a list of reasons why you can't fight back. Well, wait, do they follow those rules? Well, no, but here's your list of rules. That doesn't fly with people. It won't fly with people. It won't fly with me. You know what else won't fly with me? Pain. And B-17 bombers. Oh, we'll get to that in a moment. But pain doesn't fly with me, you see. I used to do the whole ignore it thing. I'm a Kelly. It's what we do. I'll be fine. And then, of course, I'm not fine, so what do? I don't sleep. I snap at everybody. I'm terrible about that. When I'm sick or when I'm hurt, I just turn into this angry bear that snaps at everybody. But Relief Factor has changed that. Relief Factor is the proven way to remove the pain that plagues you. That back pain, that neck pain, let Relief Factor get it out of your life. Not masking it. It's a supplement. It's drug-free, 100% drug-free, a supplement. You take it every single day. It's got a unique formula, natural ingredients. Help your body fight the inflammation. They sell 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Just try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work after 3 weeks, stop taking it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. B-17s and more. Next. We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, I love the show. I listen very often on iHeart, 1150 AM, KEIB, The Patriot. That's a great station. When I miss it, I'll catch up on the pod. Anyway, my daughter's friend came over to the house after school to study for their world history exam, couple freshmen. After that, I take them to volleyball practice. So on the way to practice, we catch the last hour of the Thursday show, last night's show, when you were talking about communism and feminism. You caught their attention playing that "Why Are You Gay" soundboard.
Why are you gay?
And the giggles came out. They put their phones away. You had their attention and mine. It was such perfect timing. I'm glad they got to hear your take on the whole matter of nuclear family and boys and girls chopping off boy and girl parts. You hit the nail on the head as always. And I'm glad they got to hear it from you in a cool way. You made it interesting, easy to understand, and you were genuine. The commercial break, I turned down the radio. I asked her friend if her dad listens to talk radio of any kind. Quote, nope, he just listens to music. What a normie, I thought. Even better that she catch that little but informative bit. Good job, you're doing the Lord's work. His name is John. Well, one, don't beat up, I guess, probably too bad on people who just listen to music. Man, I listen to music a lot when I'm done with the day. I like jamming to music. I dig on music. But like I mentioned to everybody earlier, you don't understand how much more informed you are than most people. And it becomes frustrating for you and me because being informed today is so easy. So easy. You drive places, right? Or at least if you're a kid, maybe you ride places. But what else are you doing in the car? I know you can listen to music, but and it doesn't even have to be just political. Maybe you geek out on, honestly, whatever, art history. It doesn't matter what it is. There's something out there audio-wise for everybody with nothing else to do but sit in the car. Knowledge is piped into your ears now. You have to almost work to avoid it. That's why. That's right, Chris. The Anti-Communist Manifesto is available on audiobook. Chris, that was so shameless. I didn't even do that on my life. That was Chris. I respect it, though. It's available at jessekellybook.com. Anyway, seriously, endless quantities of information are available out there, and most people don't do it. And part of the problem is when you have kids, like when you raise kids, it can be, look, raising kids is hard, and I'm certainly not father of the year by any stretch, but we get less purposeful sometimes with teaching our kids lessons. My oldest son, James, my youngest son has been out of town. He had a big school field trip. My oldest son, James, I decided last night after I got off the show, I wanted to have a late dinner. I wanted to take him out, just him and me. So we went, of course, to Red Lobster. I asked him where he wanted to go. I asked him, for anybody thinking I forced it, I asked him, I said, we'll go wherever you want. He said, Red Lobster. We went to Red Lobster last night after the show. So I picked him up. We took him out to dinner. And I mean, it was an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe, when you count the drive and everything else there. But I was talking about things that I was talking about on the show last night and things going on in the world, because he's curious about that. And you can just tell. Now, he's 16 years old. He's sucking up all this knowledge, all this information, and he wants it. He wants more. And we can all do that. We can all. It's easy to turn on a podcast. Or if you don't, again, I'm not killing you for listening to music. Please listen to music. You can do it. You don't need me to do it. You could do. I'm happy to help. If I can help with your kids in some way, I'm happy to do that. It blesses me to no end that this is a family show that people listen with their kids. I love that. And I've promised you, and I will always keep that promise, this will always be a show you can listen to with your kids. We're not going to talk about, I'm not going to cuss. We're not going to talk about a bunch of perverted stuff. Now, if we go to history, there'll be going to be violence and things like that in there. But I try the best I can to make sure. Look, I'll be honest. I shoot for, can a 6 or 7 year old probably hear that and get by for the most part? I would think, Chris, do I nail that? As a parent, yeah. I try. That's what I try to go for, right? That's what I try to go for. I want you listening with your kids, because I have. Those are valuable times. Those are precious memories. My wife, it's really precious. My wife's dad, his name's Corbett. He's a total stud. I really lucked out with my in-laws. But Corbett is his name. He's a wonderful dude. And she, you know, she's not super political to this day. She's not super political. And she wasn't when we met, but I was. But she is most definitely a right winger. And you talk to her, she was a gymnast, as you know. A high-level gymnast, she remembers her dad, Corbett, and her driving to and from gymnastics practice listening to Rush Limbaugh. Where did she get her basis of knowledge, her basis of patriotism? Well, somebody offering that stuff in an entertaining way, maybe make you snicker every now and then, and I'm certainly obviously not comparing myself to the GOAT, but that kind of stuff, that could be valuable time with your kids that they'll associate with you, right? She'll say, my dad made me listen to Rush all the time. She remembers it. Speaking of fathers, I have told you about Legacy Box a few times, but now I love them. I trust them, but we sent in our box. I understand how nerve-wracking it can be to send your hard pictures and your videos, your home movies that you don't have copies of. I understand it's quite a trust thing to load that stuff in a box and send it off to a company, Legacy Box. I don't know them. My wife asked, hey, can you check in? Can you make sure they got it? Are they taking care of it? They took care of everything. You load your stuff into the Legacy Box. They will take care of everything. They will digitize it right in Tennessee. You're not sending it to China. This is an American company. They will digitize your stuff. They will send you your hard copies back completely untouched, unbothered at all. And you will also have digital copies of all that stuff that will last forever. Once you get the digital copies, your kids will get to see you. If you have home movies, hear you. They still have an All-American sale going on. They're digitizing that stuff for $9 a tape. If you have the home movies, take advantage of that. That's crazy. It's something like 60% off or something. I have trusted them with my stuff. Trust them with yours. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. World War II, next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Do not forget to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Hey, Jesse, I really enjoy your history segments. Recently went searching through other history podcasts and found the History of World War II podcast. They were playing clips from an interview with a B-17 co-pilot. This man's last name is Lucado, I believe, talked about after the tide of the war had turned, German fighter pilots actually ramming the Americans after they ran out of ammo. I was shocked. Why haven't I ever heard of this? And I was wondering if you have, said his name is Eddie. Okay, so I actually have heard of this. Not nearly as common in Germany as it was in Japan, but as we are going to do it at some point in time, a history podcast on kamikazes. I know the Alexander the Great comes first. He won the vote, but kamikaze will come after that. I've already started geeking out on both things, kind of just beginning. I'm beginning, right? Remember, this is very, very common in war for a population, including military, to be propagandized to believe things about the other side that are not true, okay? I actually just read a story this morning. This was about, it was Vietnam, Mac V. Sog stuff. But they had taken a Vietnamese, I think she was Viet Cong. They had taken a Viet Cong woman prisoner, and she was up in a helicopter. They were a couple thousand feet above the ground, and they kind of looked the other way. And she just ran and dove right out the helicopter to kill herself. And they were all, wait, what? Now, you don't think about the Vietnamese as some kind of a suicidal death cult. They're not jihadis. Why? The propaganda that had been poured into that woman's mind about what they were going to do, what the Americans were going to do to her. Death, having dove out of a helicopter, was preferable to what she thought was coming. And isn't that so sad? Because you know as well as I do, she would have been treated well, an American prisoner of war. She would have been fed, clothed. Honestly, she would have been put back in Vietnam after the war. Hey, go back to your life. She just gave it all up because they propagandized them. The Japanese on Saipan, the cliffs of Saipan. It's a famous story we've talked about many times before. There's video of this online. It's really dark, but it's available. There's video of this online where we had fought our way through Saipan. And we got to the northern part of the island, if I remember right. We got to the northern part of the island, and there were these cliffs up there where there were Japanese civilians on Saipan, and families, little kids, were diving off the cliffs to their death down below. Parents grabbing their little sons, little girls, babies, and throwing them onto the rocks below. What? Our troops were so mortified. Our guys were crying, watching. These are hardened troops who kill people all day. They were crying. They were so heartbroken, trying to stop it. Stop, stop. What are you doing? Stop. Why would you do that? What do you think the Japanese were telling these women about what was going to happen to them when we got a hold of them? Lying. It's a lie. We would have taken great care of them. No, we wouldn't have mistreated these people. Germany, obviously, no one's going to pretend that Germany's the good guy in World War II. But we lose sight of this. Germany, they invade all over, right? It was really Russia that really doomed them. They invade the Soviet Union. They take over Poland. They take over France. They do all this stuff. But then they start to lose. And they start to lose. And the armies that are fighting against them are marching closer and closer and closer to Germany. Now, set aside for a moment the historical Nazi stuff that we all know, and you know, no one's going to defend Nazis, right? If you're a German fighter pilot, What are you thinking is going to happen to your wife? And look, if your wife happens to have the unfortunate luck of being on the eastern side of Germany where the Soviets are coming, whatever the worst thing you're imagining is probably true, because what the Soviets did to the Germans after they took over Germany, their portion of it, is some of the most horrific stuff you've ever read about in your life. The Soviets didn't hold back. So they thought the same thing about America, about the Brits, about all the other allies. I know, again, I'm not selling them as the good guys, but if you're a German pilot and the tide of the war turns and now you're looking at potentially losing that war, you think you might throw your plane into a bomber if it means maybe saving your mom, your sister, your kid, your wife? To when people are invading or about to invade your homeland, it doesn't take a lot of propaganda to get people to believe that it's worth dying over to stop the occupation of your homeland. That's something that is very, very, very real. And when it comes to B-17s and these pilots and things like that, remember, we're dealing with a slower pace of air combat back then than we have today. Today, it's fighter jets, so you can hardly see it. The jet, when they're too low, when they fly by you, when you've been to an air show, it's, and they're gone. They're gone. These planes didn't fly like that back then. Back then, you could fly right up next to a bomber and give him the middle finger if you would like, and he's going to see it. There are stories from the other direction of our guys letting their guys live when they're going to crash, of actually their guys letting some of our guys live when they know the plane is shot to pieces, the guys are dying up there, they're going to crash, because you're looking at him. He's not far away from you. You're looking at his face. You're looking at his fear. I don't want to act like it was like ground combat, but it had that level of intimacy to it back then. And because of that, there were spoken and unspoken rules, and some people violated them and they paid the price for it. I told you that story. There's audio of this. I don't know where to find the guy's audio, but there's audio of a World War II vet, a pilot, our guy, who there was a German pilot. There was this big air war and there was a German fighter pilot. And what this German fighter pilot was doing was shooting and killing Americans whose plane had been shot out of the sky, and the Americans were parachuting down. Now, that wasn't supposed to be done. Let him parachute down. Look, take him prisoner. Let him parachute down. Take him prisoner. He's out of the war. Don't mistreat him. You're not supposed to. When he's out of the fight, when he's out of the plane in a parachute, he's out of the fight. It's over. And there was a German fighter pilot that was, because there's always going to be bad apples, that was mowing our guys down in parachutes. So this American fighter pilot, he's the one telling the tale, says, I got behind this guy and I didn't try to blow up his plane. I just kept peppering him with just a little bit of this, just a little bit of that. Just a little here, little there, just trying to disable his plane. So he had to bail out. I waited till he bailed out, was on his parachute. Then I looped around and mowed him down, shot him right out of the sky. It's war. It's an ugly, ugly thing. All right. Speaking of ugly things, we're going to talk about dyeing your beard. Someone has a question about Mac v. Sog. Someone needs advice on time management. Golly, that's a lot to fit into the last segment, but I'm ready to go. What, Chris? I was born ready, Chris. I was born ready. Fred's ready, too, because he has rough greens. See, Fred's going to live long. Well, longer than he would have. We all know Fred is risk-averse anyway, but golden doodles do have health problems, and they will die early if you don't give them proper nutrition. All dogs do. American dogs die too early because we give them all dog food, and there's no nutrition in dog food. None. There's none. It's dead. That's why it lasts so long on the shelf. In fact, to get a dog to eat it, you know how dogs will eat anything? They actually spray dog food with lard and other things at the factory to make it so your dog will even eat it. Our dogs don't get vitamins and minerals and probiotics and things unless you put Rough Greens on their food. We sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food every single meal. The difference we've seen in him, it fixed his digestive problems, his energy level, his coat looks good. Big fluffy idiot's going to be around for a while. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. I hope you are geared up for an amazing weekend as I am. We got communist judges being arrested. Life is so freaking good. And look, we take the wins where we can get them. We take the wins where we can get them. We've got some good wins. Bank on them, all right? Bank on them. Hopefully more will come next week. I promise next week will bring some trouble too. Every week does, doesn't it? Make sure you enjoy the weekend this weekend. Dear old gray gangly scarecrow, per Clay and Buck, men dyeing their beards for old married farts like you, it doesn't matter. Yeah, he's saying this because I'm dead set against dyeing your beard, against dyeing anything. Just go freaking gray. Buzz it down. It's no big deal. Anyway, the guy says, from old married farts like you, it doesn't matter. For single men, yes, they should dye their beards for the same reason women dye their hair, so they won't look so old. I don't care to hear the babble that gray hair is dignified for men or other such nonsense. Gray hair makes you look older, full stop, end of story. Says his, well, he didn't say I could use his name, so I'm not going to. All right, buddy, so let me explain something. Life is unfair in a variety of ways, okay? It's unfair, and it always will be. There is no equality in life. It's not just that equity doesn't exist and shouldn't. Equality doesn't exist either. There's no equality. When it comes to men and women, women obviously have some advantages, and men have some advantages. I got really fat after my dad died. I told you this. I was drinking too much, eating as bad as you could eat. I don't even eat that much dessert. I was eating dessert after every meal, like just fat and gross. I think I gained like 13, 14 pounds. Over the course of 30 days, I lost all of it and got back into shape. My wife is not happy. She's upset. She said, I'm so angry that you can just decide in 30 days to get back into shape and look good, and I have to bust my butt to shave off half a pound. I'm a man. I have testosterone. I have advantages when it comes to that. Okay? I have advantages. Here's another advantage we have as dudes. Gray hair. Now, I personally don't think gray hair looks bad on a woman. I don't believe every woman should look 20 years old. You look fine at 40, ladies. Get some gray. You look fine at 50. You look fine at 60. It's fine. No big deal. You're not supposed to look 20 forever. Stop getting stuff injected in your stupid face and just get old. It's fine. But gray hair on dudes, chicks love it. Love it. My wife loves the fact that my beard went gray. Prefers it. I've joked before about dyeing it. She yells. She said, you better not. She loves it. Trust me. Chicks dig it. Go gray, buddy. Go gray. You'll be out there slaying it. Absolutely slaying it. Jesse. Or actually, he says historical oracle. I was wondering if you can give me some advice on how you handle time management. I'm 34 years old. I work 55 hours a week as a machinist for military and aerospace components. I have a 3- and 4-year-old, and my wife and I own a home. Between work, home, yard maintenance, family time, and a litany of other responsibilities we have on our plates, I find it difficult to manage my schedule responsibly. I feel like I always fall short on something. I'm trying hard, and I take my chalk every day, but I would love to hear your wise advice on how to live a more balanced and holistic life. Help me, please. Says his name is Nick. Nick, you're too hard on yourself. You're 34 years old. You're a 34-year-old with a career. You're busting your butt trying to make it, trying to better yourself, be successful. You very clearly love your family. Your 3- and 4-year-olds, full-time jobs at this point in time. At that age, well, Chris knows, Corey knows, at that age, it's just a lot. I can go 2 or 3 days. In fact, I've gone 3 days without speaking to one of my sons. He took off on a school field trip. He won't even text us. He's just having fun with his friends. It just happens. Yeah, I don't know. I assume he's still alive and eating or something like that. That's because he's 14. At 3 and 4, it's dad, mom, dad, you want to play? No, and I'm not dogging on it, right? It's this period in your life is as busy and hectic as life feels ever. You are still trying to grind at work and make it. Your kids require the most amount of time. Plus, your young smoke wife wants and deserves your attention as well. But then, like you mentioned, I mean, I go through this all the time, too. Oh, good. In fact, I've got to deal with it when I get home. I got a faucet leaking out back. I've got to go get Teflon tape on it. I've got the house maintenance is a full-time freaking job. I have a drain that I can't seem to get unclogged permanently. My kids, it's in the bathroom. It clogs all the time. Now, I know how to snake a drain, and I know how to use Drano. I've done that a dozen times. There's a problem with the piping. I'm going to have to repipe it. I know. I get it. I know. It will get better. The children will get older. And guess what? You're not going to get everything done because you can't. You know that I have this thing, and I don't know what this is. Maybe it's from my childhood. Who knows? I constantly worry about being a bad father. It's like I guess you might even call it a phobia of mine. I worry, am I a good father? Am I being a good dad to the kids? To the point where I will even bring it up to Ob. We have, baby, please tell me I've been a good dad. And she's always like, you're the best dad in the history of mankind. And my kid has even, I told you, it's maybe the greatest moment of my life. My 16-year-old son told me he was thankful to God for me because he said, you're pretty much the greatest role model any kid could ever have, right? So my kid has told me that. And still, the next day, did I short him? I should have done this. Oh, here I am sitting around doing nothing. I'm watching a documentary. I should be teaching him things. I'm a failure. I suck. That's part of being ambitious, buddy. Let it go. You're doing fine. You don't need my advice on time management. Keep treading water. Keep your head above water, and eventually life will slow down. I told my parents about this. I was talking to my dad about it before he passed, and he said, you know, it's like that when you're younger and you're striving to make it and you're trying to get ahead and this and that. And he said, then one day you wake up and the kids are gone and you're retired. And you're just looking for something to do. He said, I run down to the hardware shop just to talk to people and buy some things because I'm just looking for something to do. Life has a different pace at different times. Stop beating yourself up. I'm sure you're managing your time well. Now, everybody, go manage your time this weekend. Soak up your family, friends. I promise the problems will be here on Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.